The following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
9:06, before we get to a guest on the phone, some of you heard me talk about on the air a cell phone video that surfaced Friday from an incident in downtown Green Bay where excessive police officer force is being alleged. I've now seen the same thing. I've seen the entire video. And no, there is nothing at this point that mitigates. The entire video does make it look bad for the officer. I am still going to withhold judgment until we know all the facts. But it doesn't look good. All right. Moving on to other things to start this segment. I have, for some time, wanted to get Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark on the show, particularly when he was getting a lot of heat for the what I would call public service announcements he ran on Milwaukee radio, encouraging citizens to arm to defend themselves. That's an unusual position for someone at an administrative level in law enforcement. I know a lot of rank-and-file guys who have no problem with law-abiding citizens carrying guns, but at the administrative level, it tends to be more common for them to oppose concealed carry and have concerns about people legally carrying guns for self-protection. There are a number of other things that Sheriff Clark has done to rankle the media and the left in his community, and we've never had a chance to talk to him. I finally reached out to him, and we are joined now by Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark. Sheriff, good morning.
Good morning, Jerry. How are you? Good morning to your listeners.
Great to have you on. Let me start here. You heard me set that up. I know a lot of guys on the street who have no problem with, and I conceal carry. They have no problem with that. You are unusual at the administrative level. What do you know that others don't about not worrying about law-abiding citizens defending themselves with firearms?
Well, first of all, I trust law-abiding citizens. Those are the people that we in law enforcement ask to help us with crime control initiatives, with getting involved, with trying to keep the bad guys on the run. And so I think the best thing that the state of Wisconsin did in a long time was enact the Personal Protection Act, which, as you indicated, most people know it as or refer to it as CCW, which allows law-abiding citizens to obtain a permit and do what I think is their number one responsibility, is to protect themselves, protect their families. Self-defense is a natural law, and survival, it's instinctive. But I realize that, especially in the city of Milwaukee, with the crime and violence that we have here, it's unprecedented for the city of Milwaukee anyway, and it's been going on for some time. But victims and law-abiding people are at a distinct disadvantage in terms of defending themselves when they're going up against armed perpetrators. So in order to balance the scale, so to speak, and to give people some options, because I don't tell people what to do in these instances. I don't know what they should do in certain situations. And I get asked, what should I do? I say, it depends on the circumstances, depends on your confidence, depends on your skill level, so on and so on. But like I said, you're at a distinct disadvantage going up against an armed perpetrator. So in order to balance that, I wanted to leverage the Personal Protection Act. We have, last figure I heard, about 175,000 people who have applied for permits in the state of Wisconsin. Well, there's a fighting force for me to beat back the criminal perpetrator in certain situations where people feel confident enough to do so. And so I think that this is something that has always existed. The right of self-defense is, like I said, the natural right. But what we in law enforcement did, Jerry, is we got away from it. And we started telling people, don't do anything, just call police and wait for us to get there. Well, that model may have worked at one time when you didn't have all these calls for service and you didn't have all the violence that goes on in these urban centers. And that includes a city like Green Bay. And it's climbing. And so the cops now, this is no fault of theirs, the police officers. I say cops affectionately. I'm a career cop. Mm. But the cops can't keep up with the calls for service. So people in Milwaukee are waiting longer and longer periods of time for police response. Well, what are they supposed to do? I'll give you an example. In the city of Milwaukee, on average, so keep in mind this is on average, 59 minutes for response by the police to a sexual assault. 59 minutes. Over an hour, on average, for police response to a call of shots fired. So my thought was, you really expect people to just sit by when this stuff is going on and wait for the police? I say, no, that's irresponsible. And so I took those two things and put them together and reminded citizens, you have a duty. You heard the ad. I said, yep. You have a duty to protect yourself and your families. And that's, I think, what we need to do to get people more involved and send a different message to the criminal element.
You've taken a lot of heat for that. And Tom Barrett, who's obviously afraid that you're going to run against him for mayor, put this in a fundraising letter. He said of you, for example, he once advocated that Milwaukee County citizens arm rather than rely on law enforcement, and he's the county sheriff. And then he went a step further and touted this dangerous message nationally. And you make a great point. You bring up the incident where Tom Barrett was severely beaten outside State Fair Park, and for him not to understand that you're just absolutely right about this, the police cannot get there in time. And it's amazing that that experience wasn't life-changing for him on this issue.
You know, and it should have been. And it was an unfortunate incident, obviously. Your listeners may know. He tried to intervene on the street. He was walking through a neighborhood, returning to his vehicle after going to the Wisconsin State Fair, and there was some domestic violence incident outside. And he went and tried to intervene. He didn't have his police protection around him. He was with his family in a tire iron-wielding suspect turned around and beat him within inches of his life. It was a severe beating. Like I said, it was a tragic incident. But like you said, Jerry, I would think that a guy who had undergone something like that would be a little more sensitive to the plight of everyday residents who deal with this stuff on a daily basis. But instead, he went back to his political stance of being anti-gun and against the gun. This is the way I view blaming the gun in these incidents. I think blaming the gun for acts of violence is like blaming the car for drunk driving crashes and drunk driving deaths. I mean, that's the instrumentality that's used, but it's the behavior that we need to go after. It's why people would take a firearm and try to take people's property. Why they would take a firearm and try to settle disputes. We had four people in the last 2 weeks, Jerry, in the city of Milwaukee, four innocent bystanders that were hit by gunfire. They weren't hit by gunfire simply because of the gun. That was the instrument used. They were hit by gunfire because we have criminal perpetrators who are in and out of jail in this revolving door justice system here. And these soft-on-crime programs to try to remake people that do not work, that recycle people back into the community, career criminals to reoffend. That's what we need to go after, not law-abiding people with guns. We need to go after a soft criminal justice system. And we have to send a message to the criminal element that when you engage in this sort of abhorrent behavior, there's going to be no second chance. There's going to be no jobs training program. You are going to be locked up for the longest period of time allowable by law. And when you send that message, that alone is going to change behavior. Now, here's how Tom Barrett, in his infinite wisdom, decided to go after crime and violence in Milwaukee. Last year, he furloughed all 1,500 Milwaukee police officers 3 days each. That's 4,500 fewer man hours. And I know there's women in police agencies, but you know, just for generically speaking, man hours, 4,500 fewer man hours spent patrolling crime-ridden neighborhoods, high-crime neighborhoods, for a consistent visible presence. Milwaukee Police Department has about 200 vacancies that have gone unfilled for decades. So that's how he goes after crime. We get nothing but platitudes and symbolism out of Mayor Tom Barrett. Right now he's on this ceasefire Sabbath mission. You know, it's all platitudes and symbolism, where he goes around telling people, stop the violence, don't do that. You know, that's not an effective crime strategy. I've been doing this for 35 years, and I know it works. You have to have enough law enforcement officers to put together effective strategies. Then you have to go out and have these officers create a relationship with the people in the community so that they want to help you. Then you identify the perpetrators of this crime and violence. You arrest the perpetrators and put together good cases to go to court. And then you have to get this criminal justice system, the district attorney's office, and a soft Milwaukee County judiciary. You have to get them on board to lock these career criminals up, these violent career criminals up, for the longest period of time allowable by law. That is an effective crime strategy, I know, because it's been tried in other cities, and it's been done successfully. You look at the results of New York City. When that city was deemed by the New York Times as unlivable because of the crime and violence until Rudy Giuliani and Bill Bratton got there, and Bill Bratton was given the leverage of 5,000 new cops. They hired 5,000 new cops in his time there. And the crime decreases are off the charts and continue to this day because they went with the model that I just said. You identify the perps, you lock them up for the longest period of time allowable by law.
Talking with Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark, as you know, Congressman Paul Ryan has been heavily criticized for comments he made about the inner city. You're never afraid to ruffle feathers, and you ruffled feathers of some of the black leadership and others suggesting that, yeah, there is a structural problem with that culture.
Well, there's no doubt about it. First of all, Paul Ryan's my friend. Paul Ryan has put together a report, and the left and the liberals, the big government status type people who know that these programs, these anti-poverty programs, have done nothing more than enslave people and made them slaves and dependents on big government. He put together a report that looked at the last 50 years of these anti-poverty programs. And in fact, and it's to the surprise of nobody, things have actually gotten worse the more money we have poured into anti-poverty programs. So Paul Ryan went and commissioned a report that laid this out with data, with substance, that said, hey, these things have made things worse. And what the left does, Jerry, and you know this, first they attack the message. So that's the first thing they did, was said his message was racist. He used it, you know, that's a tactic. I'm used to that. Then they go after the messenger. You attack the messenger. When you can't kill the message, you try to kill the messenger. So this is a tactic that's used to silence people. It's going to be very hard for this cabal that we're talking about to silence me, because I'm not afraid of them. And they can call me all the names they want. You know, they like to refer to me, well, he's not really black, he's an Uncle Tom. That's fine. That stuff doesn't bother me. What bothers me, Jerry, is the incessant poverty, the incessant lack of being able to find consistent employment in the city of Milwaukee. We have a black male unemployment rate of 32%. The national black unemployment rate, Jerry, is 16%. So we have double that here in Milwaukee. The city of Milwaukee has 30% of people living in poverty. We're the fourth poorest city in America. We have a failing Milwaukee public school system that has the worst reading and math scores for black students in the United States of America. This is what bothers me, not the names that they're going to attack me with.
Final question, Sheriff Clark. I've had a couple of listeners, knowing that you were going to be on, email me this and wanted me to ask you. You know, there's talk of you running for mayor. Would you ever consider statewide office?
Well, I'm getting a little out ahead of my skis there,
yeah.
And I appreciate the excitement that people have about a potential run for mayor. But I have to get reelected sheriff, and that's coming up in August, and I need people's help. They can go to thepeoplesheriff.com and help me out there. But what I said was I would sit down after my reelection for sheriff. And first things first, I want to get that taken care of. I love what I do. I'm a career cop. I bleed blue, and I still have a lot of passion and enthusiasm for this. I said after that, I would sit down with some trusted aides and mentors and confidants and discuss the viability of taking on an incumbent mayor. And that's 2 years away, so we got time there. So first I want to take care of this statewide. Like I said, it's getting a little out ahead of my skis. I want to do this one step at a time, and then we'll see what happens from there.
All right. Sheriff David Clark, thanks so much for joining us. We'll have you on again.
It's my pleasure, Jerry.
I met the sheriff once, very briefly, about a year ago. He's an interesting guy. He's just a very interesting guy. He is one of the few administrative-level law enforcement guys who feels as passionately and strongly about Second Amendment and self-defense rights as he does. One of the other administrative-level law guys I know is a very, very good friend of mine, a police chief. There's not enough of them. It's 9:21.
With everything you say.
For all things Jerry Bader, jerrybadershow.com.